Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us, all of you who are here in person and those of you joining us online. And I want to offer a special thank you for being here this morning. Not only was it hard to wake up because of the time change, but with it raining and being cold and gray, oh, it would have been so much easier to stay in the bed or to stay hunkered down. But thank you for being here this morning. We have a couple of announcements. First of all, an update on the offering envelopes. I'm sorry to say it's not a great update. We are still waiting. The company tells me they're still short-staffed and they're still struggling to meet orders. So I know many of you have made do with just using a regular envelope and putting your name on it. I'm sorry I don't have any more of an update than that. Next Sunday is going to be an exciting Sunday. We are delighted to be welcoming three new members, Pat Elder, Tracy, and Eddie Summers. And to welcome them, although we feel like they've already been a part of our Holly Grove family, to welcome them officially, we will do that during worship next Sunday. And then we will have a reception afterwards so that you all can go and shake hands and spend a little bit of time getting to know them. A couple things going on this week. Church Council is tomorrow evening. We've got senior citizens on Wednesday, as well as our midweek meal and midweek worship. I have a card to read from the Life Center. Last month, our basket offering went to the Life Center, and they write, "Dear Holly Grove Lutheran Church, the Life Center of Davidson County staff and participants truly appreciate your continued support. Your most recent donation will help us to continue providing day health services to our participants. This not only improves their quality of life, but their caregivers as well. Thank you for being a part of helping so many in our community." I don't have any other announcements, so we'll go into birthdays and anniversaries. This week, Alex Chapman, Terry Clark, Ty Heitman, and Gavin Ferguson have a birthday. And Gary and Judy McLean have an anniversary. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand, and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen. Stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who journeys with us these 40 days and sustains us with the gift of grace. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name, amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Merciful God, the fountain of living water, you quench our thirst and wash away our sin. Give us this water always. Bring us to drink from the well that flows with the beauty of your truth. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Let us read Psalm 95 responsibly. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us come before God's presence with thanksgiving.
And raise the glass to the Lord with psalms.
For you, Lord, are a great God.
And a great ruler of all gods.
In your hand are the caverns of the earth.
The heights of the hills are also yours.
The sea is yours, for you made it.
And your hands have molded the dry land.
Come, let us worship and bow down.
Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker.
For the Lord is our God, and we are the people of God's pasture.
The sheep of God's hand.
Because the gospel lesson is quite lengthy today, I'm going to invite you to be seated for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to John, the fourth chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Judea and starting back to Galilee, Jesus had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you are right in saying I have no husbands, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You will worship what you do not know. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is here now when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, what do you want? Or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. And she said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you have said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I would like to invite the children, Sawyer, for a children's message. I said to Sawyer earlier, if you're the only kid here, do you still want to come forward? And he said, sure. So I brought a book this morning, thinking also that Kate and Cameron were here and that they might like a board book. But this book is called Let's Be Friends. And I brought this book because the woman in the story that we just read about, she didn't have any friends. She was so different from so many people, and she had made some mistakes in her past, and so people avoided her, and they ignored her. And this book is about some of the differences that can happen between people. And this book says, can they be friends even if they're different? So if somebody is a cat person, can they be friends with a dog person? You think so? I think so. If people like different kinds of ice creams, can they be friends with one another? I think so. If somebody is serious and somebody is silly, can they be friends even though they're different in that way? Yes, because underneath it all, people are people. What if somebody wants to be an astronaut, or somebody wants to be an artist, or somebody wants to be an athlete, even if they want to be different things, can they be friends? Absolutely. What if somebody is from over here on the world, or someone else is from over here or from here? Can people from different places of the world be friends? Yes. This even says yes in different languages. Sí, amigo. You know what that means, don't you? What if people live in different kinds of houses, like a cottage or an apartment or a houseboat? Can they live in different kinds of houses and still be friends? Sure. What if somebody is older? Can they be friends with somebody younger? Absolutely. Can boys and girls be friends? Yes. Can every kind of kid be a friend to each other? Yes. What if somebody has different color hair, or different color eyes, or different color skin? Can they be friends? Yes, because friends come in all colors. What if people have different faiths? Can they be friends? Yes. So this is peace in different faith language. Peace. Salam. Shalom. Namaste. When it comes down to it, we're all just people, and we're all worthy of friendship, and we're all worthy of love. And so even though this woman was so different from other people, and those differences made them not want to be friends with hers, that's not the truth of what we believe, right? We believe that no matter what differences there are between people, that they can still be friends. And Jesus believed that too. Jesus believed that we are all, every single human being is created in the image of God, and every single human being is loved by God. And so Jesus saw every single human as worthy of being loved. And you are worthy of being loved. And Jesus thinks that you're really, really special too. And I know that you are a good friend to a lot of people. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for our church. And thank you for each other. Thank you for our differences. Help us to not think our differences can stop us from loving others. Thank you for Sawyer and for all of the ways that he is a good friend. We love you, God. Amen. Thank you for coming forward. You can go back to your seat. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever heard this story about four people named Everybody, Somebody, Anybody, and Nobody? Well, there was an important job to be done, and everybody was sure that somebody would do it. Now, anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. But everybody thought that anybody could do it. Nobody realized that everybody wouldn't do it. And it ended up that everybody blamed somebody when nobody did what anybody could have done. Now, this is meant to be a funny story, and when I looked it up to make sure I got the words right, it looks like it's often used for human resource purposes. And we all know that no one is actually named nobody. But I think at one point in time in all of our lives, some of us, if not all of us, have felt like a nobody. Like we didn't matter, or our story didn't matter, or our life didn't matter, or even worse, that our existence didn't matter. Being made to feel like a nobody is an incredibly painful experience. One that the woman in today's gospel knew all too well. In the eyes of most people, she was a nobody. She isn't even named in this story. And yet, this gospel lesson tells us of one of the most surprising and powerful interactions that Jesus has with someone in the entire Gospel of John. This woman had so many things going against her. Her religious orientation, she was a Samaritan. Her gender, she was a female, and females were nobodies in that place and time. Her social standing, her personal habits. In that place, at that time, all of these things would have distanced her from Jesus and her community. In fact, based on the details that the author of this gospel gives us, we can fully expect that people would have tried to avoid this woman and ignore her whenever possible. Now, there has been much made over this Samaritan woman over the years, who, for unknown reasons, had a complicated past and a complex life. We don't know exactly why the woman chose to come to the well during the middle of the day to collect water. But even more important than that, Jesus doesn't seem to care. It's as though he was there waiting for her. And he doesn't judge her. He doesn't condemn her. He doesn't ignore her. And he doesn't avoid her. Because although this woman is a nobody to everyone else, she is a somebody to Jesus. Jesus sees her as someone who matters, as someone who has worth. And instead of avoiding her or ignoring her, he spoke with her and engaged with her. He answered her questions, and he offered her living water. Ultimately, what happened is that Jesus revealed himself to her, this woman who had everything stacked against her. Jesus met her where she was, and he transformed her. The truth is that Jesus meets everyone where they are. He always has, and he always will. We, humans, are the one who put conditions on ourselves and others as it relates to our relationship with God. We think, I need to get my act together, whatever that might be, before God will truly love and accept me. Or they need to get their act together before God will truly love and accept them. But this is not who God is, and this is not how God works. God comes to us in Christ. When we are baptized in the water, before we can even form a thought about God or make a decision to follow God, God has already named us and claimed us in these waters. And God has adopted us and filled us with the Holy Spirit. Because God's love is always pursuing us. We don't have to strive or do anything to make God love us. And so, yes, the Samaritan woman went to the well at the worst time of the day, to avoid seeing anyone. And despite her best efforts not to run into anyone, Jesus was there waiting for her. During their time together, he listened to all of her questions. He answered her questions. He revealed that he was the Messiah. And he transformed her. She who had brought a vessel to fill with water, when she left to go back to her vessel, she left it there because she had become the vessel and she was gushing over with living water. being in the presence of God had transformed her, because God's love has the power to change us. This text is good news for anyone who has ever felt the humiliation or the shame or the pain of being a nobody. Because Jesus doesn't turn away from this woman. He doesn't turn away from us or from anyone. Jesus doesn't ignore this woman or avoid her. Instead, he sees her as a somebody. He engages her in conversation and takes her seriously. Jesus even ended up spending a couple of days with this woman in her village, transforming many, many people. This woman and her community mattered to Jesus. And whether or not people saw them as nobodies, Jesus saw them as somebodies. And that's good news. But it's also challenging news, because it reminds us that the people we think are nobodies are somebodies to Jesus. Jesus doesn't ignore them. Quite the opposite. He seeks them out. The people that we think aren't worthy, or the people that we think don't matter, the people that we want to ignore or avoid, they are all somebodies to Jesus. Jesus not only welcomes the outsiders, the ones on the margins, the least of these, Jesus loves them. And in doing so, he reveals to the world and to us the very heart of God. As Jesus' body in the world, we are now called to that same mission, to reveal the heart of God to the world. And we are called to do this by welcoming the outsiders, by welcoming those on the margins, by welcoming the least of these, by welcoming the nobodies, and by loving them all as well, with the love of God. May it be so. Amen.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born under the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Sustained by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. We pray for your church. Bless partnerships with other Christians and interreligious dialogue. Guide the daily work of denominational and congregational leaders. Strengthen our combined witness for the sake of the gospel that all experience your life-given love. Merciful God, we pray for the universe. All creation teems with life, from the depths of the earth and the seas to the skies above. Fill us with awe and reverence for the diversity and preservation of life. Merciful God, receive our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world. Topple the dividing walls that separate us from our neighbors. Form us into your beloved community, where diversity of gender, race, language, ability, and ethnic origin is celebrated and affirmed. Merciful God, receive our prayers. We pray for those who suffer in mind, body, or spirit. Be present with all who are lonely, and give courage to all who are afraid. Comfort those who live with chronic illness or other sickness, especially Dean, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Boyd, Mike, Scott, Paul and Carolina, Joe, Robert, Walt, Nancy, John, Karen, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those we now name aloud on our lips or silently on our hearts. Jennifer Hester. Merciful God, receive our prayer. We pray for this congregation, especially those in confirmation. Nurture their faith and pour your love into their hearts. Inspire our community to keep the promises we made to them in baptism. Merciful God,
receive our prayers.
We give thanks for the lives of all your saints. Their hope in you sustain lives and of faith and service. Encourage us with the hope they shared in you. Merciful God,
into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Thank you.
us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness,
you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, O God of the universe. Your mercy is everlasting, and your faithfulness endures from age to age. Praise to you for creating the heavens and the earth. Praise to you for saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness to the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Christ. Praise to you for your Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Grace our table. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with the sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come and receive Jesus, our strength in the wilderness. Amen.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Now let's say our mission. As united people of God, guide us, the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. Go in peace, serve in love.
Thanks be to God.